Thanks for tuning in to the Cascade Hiker Podcast. I want to talk to you about audibletrial.com/Cascade Hiker Podcast. You can find a hiking book and listen to it right there on your, however you're listening to this, actually, right on your smartphone, iPod, however you listen to podcasts, you can listen to an Audible book. Yep, there's over 180,000 titles there to choose from. And right now, you Cascade Hiker Podcast listeners are going to get a 30-day trial. It's really simple. You just go to audibletrial.com/Cascade Hiker Podcast. You're going to get one free audiobook download if you go there and check it out. Now, I do have a couple suggestions of some books. One of the authors that I've found on Audible has been Timothy Egan. And he's got some great books that a lot of hikers can relate to. And one of them has been recommended before. It's called The Good Rain. And it's called The Good Rain Across Time and Terrain in the Pacific Northwest. There's also one of my favorite books, The Big Burn, Teddy Roosevelt and the Fire That Saved America. It talks about a fire back in 1910 in Washington, Idaho, and Montana. And this was right around the time, well, actually, the Forest Services were just getting started. There's a lot of history talking about that, too. Gifford Pinchot and Teddy Roosevelt. And really talks about all of their history and how they came to be and how the forest all came to be. And then how this huge fire, which killed a bunch of people. There was 10,000 people that were hired to fight this fire, including Pulaski. And that's if anybody's done any trail work, they probably know what a Pulaski is. And it was an invention by him to help fight forests in our national forest. So it's a great book. But you can also choose pretty much any book. I mean, they got The Hobbit on there. There's, like I said, there's 180,000 titles. Go check it out. audibletrial.com/Cascade Hiker Podcast. Once again, audibletrial.com/Cascade Hiker Podcast. Go get your free audiobook and 30-day trial right now. Thanks to Audible for sponsoring this show.
This is the Cascade Hiker Podcast. You're going to find out all the aspects of hiking in our beautiful Pacific Northwest woods.
I'm a country boy with a soft side. My heart wanders up north to the hillside. And I've never met anyone quite as beautiful as you.
Check us out over at CascadeHikerPodcast.com. That's right, CascadeHikerPodcast.com. That's where you're going to find all the show notes and links right there.
Enigmatic like that of the cosmos. Never held your hand.
I want to thank Whiskey Fever for letting me use that awesome track there. That was Tall Grass off their album, Gonna Wake Up This Whole Town. Find them at ReverbNation.com/Whiskey Fever. They're from Cedro Woolley. Go check them out. I'm your host, Rudy Getzik. I put this podcast together to inspire you to get out on the trail. Are you putting in 2-mile hikes, 5-mile hikes? You sitting on the couch? Have you even gone on a backpacking trip yet? I'm going to introduce you to some folks that have done that and a whole lot more. So without further ado, here is the Cascade Hiker Podcast. All right, next on the Cascade Hiker Podcast, what's your name and where are you from?
Hey, this is Gabby Fulcher here, and I'm from Seattle, Washington.
Okay, well, cool. Hey, I actually met you at the Washington Hikers and Climbers Facebook group meetup in Seattle back in December. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. That was the first time we met. Okay. It was a really great event. Glad I went.
It was cool, man. I saw you talking to everybody. We kind of it was fun. It was quite a few people there, and it was a cool event. And you had mentioned that you recently had released a book, and I was really excited about that and want to kind of get you on to talk about it. So I had a dream, I lived it, an adventure on the John Muir Trail. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so the book is a travelogue. It's about hiking the beautiful John Muir Trail in the wilderness of Sierra Nevada mountain range down in California. The trail itself is officially 211 miles long, you can do it southbound or northbound. Pretty much one of the entry points is in Yosemite Valley, and the other one is on the top of Mount Whitney. So if you go southbound, you start in Yosemite and you end up on the top of Whitney. If you go northbound, you do it the other way. Most people go southbound. It's a little easier that way. That's kind of how we did it. And the actual book, it's pretty much Dave and I hike and backpack quite a bit here in Washington. but it's kind of like everybody else. Most of our adventures are confined to a length of regular hiking weekend. So for this particular trip, that was our first real immersion into the world of long distance hiking. And in the book, I tried to capture the uniqueness of that experience, as well as point some of the challenges that we had to face along the way. Because let's face it, it wasn't all a walk in the park.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, just going from weekend hiking to 3 weeks hiking, that's quite a jump.
Yeah, definitely. It was an experience for both of us, and experience that we were not quite ready for, especially in the beginning. We did several longer trips, but mostly a trekking trips. So you would go from hut to hut, and you have a dry, warm place to stay in the night. During this particular trip along Chong Mir Trail, we had everything that we used in our bags in the backpack, and that's what we had to kind of get away with. And we went down with the idea that we're going to California and it will be beautiful and sunny, and it never rains in California, right? So we got down there, and the nature threw a few surprises at us. So we were facing rain and hail and lightning storms and all kinds of other fun things. It definitely took some time to kind of adjust our mindsets to be able to enjoy the trip no matter what the nature threw at us. But in the end, we did, and it really was an amazing experience. I would recommend it to everybody if you can get 3 weeks, and that's a really good time for the hike, the time frame. You can do it pretty much in a somewhat leisurely pace. You don't have to rush if you take 3 weeks, and it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, what steered you towards the John Muir Trail?
Well, at that time, both of us kind of felt the itch to do something a little bit longer, and we didn't have the time to do anything like the Pacific Crest Trail at that time. So we figured, okay, this is something that we can fit into our vacation time. And the first time actually I read about the trail, it was in a book that's called the Classical Hikes of the World. It's by Mr. Potterfield, and it mentions pretty much this trail as a part of the Pacific Crest Trail, part that many people consider the most beautiful part of Pacific Crest Trail. So we figured, okay, we can fit it in our vacation. We can get a little bit taste of or through hiking, and we went for it.
Nice. Yeah. Well, I've interviewed probably a good handful of people that have hiked the Pacific Crest Trail, and most of them say that that's their favorite section. So yeah, I don't blame you there. Unless you're talking to Jeff Kish, I just interviewed him. He was in episodes 39 and 40, and he's a Pacific Northwest Trail guy, so he loves Washington in general. So he didn't want to claim the John Muir Trail, but yeah, man, that's I think most people know what it is and understand why you probably chose that.
If you're listening to the show on iTunes, please give it a rating. I would love to hear your feedback on there, and yeah, it helps the show out quite a bit. Hey, thanks a lot,
listeners. I got you a deal at Rivertime Brewery in Darrington, Washington. That's right. Tell them Cascade Hiker Podcast sent you, and you get $1 off your first pint. If you're up there hiking or just driving through town, stop in and tell them Cascade Hiker Podcast sent you. They just won the bronze medal at the Washington Beer Awards for their Scottish beer. So after a hike, enjoy a pint. And their slogan says, beer at an appropriate pace. Rivertime Brewery is located in downtown Darrington, Washington, in the old City Hall building there. Can't miss it. So next time you're in there, remember, don't forget to tell them the Cascade Hiker Podcast sent you and get that $1 off the first pint. Of course, you got to be over 21.
We are hikertrash.com. They got some awesome hats, shirts, stickers. They even got temporary tattoos. They got women's t-shirts, men's t-shirts. They even have wallets. Hiker Trash is a really cool name. The meaning just really brings hikers together. Hiker Trash is a community. You see somebody on the trail that's another hiker trash, and you just know that they've been through some stuff. They've been out on the trail. So go check out the hats and shirts. Really great company, really quality stuff. We are hikertrash.com. How did you get involved in hiking to begin with?
Oh, I always hiked. Ever since I was a kid, I come from Czech Republic. And they say every Czech is a musician, which I think it's only 90% true. I belong to the 10% part that absolutely can carry a tune. But also every Czech is a hiker. That's absolutely true. I mean, you go anywhere in the mountains, and they're not as high as the mountains are here. It's more like, imagine Mount Sai kind of all over the country, but everybody goes out and everybody enjoys the mountains. It's people's pretty much favorite pastime. And when I was growing up, it was during the time when communism was still around, and we didn't have much opportunity to travel abroad or to some, you know, exotic foreign countries. So my parents took us to the mountains, and we went to the forest, and we hiked, and we picked berries and picked mushrooms, and we took our shoes off and walked through the streams. And it was childhood that I would never change for anything else in my life. And that pretty much, I think, got me to love the nature to the point that I really can live without it. And I just keep coming back for more.
That's great. So when did you get to Washington?
It was in 2001, and I really started hiking in about 2005.
Oh, okay. Can you remember some of your first hikes?
Yeah. I started with the classics, pretty much like everybody who comes to the state. You hear about Mount Tsai, you hear about Mount Pilcek, about Wallis Falls. So those were some of my first hikes, all beautiful. And then it pretty much went from there. And I got to REI, and I bought every hiking book that they had on the shelf, and started exploring the state. And even now, after pretty much 11 years of actually hiking nearly every weekend, I still have a very long list of hikes that I still want to do. So it's a really nice place to be, and I'm glad that I'm in Washington State. It's really for hikers. You can pick any better state.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, back to the book. When did you start writing the book? Was it on the trail, or did you kind of just think about some stuff on the trail and then decide to write the book? When did that all come to be?
I came to the trail with the idea of writing a book about it. I did not know if there will be a story worth writing. I knew that the scenery will be beautiful. I knew that we'll probably meet some really cool people along the way. You never know what will happen, and if it will be worth telling the story. So then the trip happened, and we experienced so many unique and so many pretty much amazing things that by the time that we finished, it was like, yes, I'm going to write about it, because people kind of should know about what long distance hiking is about. I'm hoping that people will read it who hike, and it will inspire them to hike longer trails and go and really kind of get the immersion of the nature. And I also hope that people who don't hike will read the book, and it will inspire them to go out even for a day and kind of see what it's like. And that's pretty much what I like to do. I like to take people out and introduce them to the nature.
Yeah, well, one thing I noticed too is that you're really into photography. Is that play a part in your book also?
There are some pictures in the book. It's not as many as I would like to have there. I think in the future, when I write my second book that we will get to probably a little bit later, I will make it a point to actually introduce more photographs into that book. This one has some of them. There are some on my blog. It's definitely connected to me. Hiking and photography, I don't know if I hike to take pictures or if I pretty much just go out and enjoy the photography because I go to these beautiful places. Yeah. But it's connected. It's connected so much that I'm willing to carry a very heavy camera and very heavy tripod on these hikes. And that was the mistake that I made on the John Muir Trail. As I said, it was our first long distance trail and I was worried about the weight a little bit. So I compromised and I got a camera that was a little different than what I usually carry. I did not bring tripod and I think I missed some of the opportunities that I would have liked to capture. So any other adventure that I will be going on from pretty much now on, I have my setup and it's about 5 pounds and I'm sure that I will have some really cool pictures to show in my next books.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people would want to kind of hear about that. So what is your setup?
So right now I have a full frame DSLR. I use the Nikon D750 and that's a really great camera. It's full frame, so it's on a heavy side with the lens that I'm using, which is the 16 to 35 millimeter. It's a really great landscape lens. It's about 5 pounds total, and I carry a tripod with me that is about 2.5 pounds, and it's a Sirui 1204, I think. The extended, not the water. They have waterproof and non-waterproof version.
Oh,
I have
yeah.
Yeah, but so pretty much, yeah, heavy camera, heavy tripod, but well worth it. If you like photography, it helps you to capture the moments that you really want, and that's worth everything.
Well, how do you carry your camera? Because I know one of the biggest things people say is, if you put your camera in your pack, you're never going to take the picture. So how do you carry your camera on the trail?
Oh yeah, that's absolutely right. That's if I had it in my pack, I would never take a picture in the trip. So the setup that I have like a pouch that goes around my waist. I use a think tank belt. It's a camera belt that kind of holds the pouch, and then I clip it just under my pack belt. They both fit really well, and then I have the camera ready at my hip. I can get it at any time that I want, and I found that it works really well. I talked to a few other hikers who have similar kind of problems with cameras and accessibility, and they mentioned that they're not sure whether or not that would kind of throw their balance a little bit, having, you know, the heavy camera on one side. So I pretty much I have the camera on one hip, and then I put my tripod on my backpack on the other side, and at least for me that works really well.
Yeah, a little counterbalance. What yeah. about as far as when it's on your hip, how are you keeping it dry?
It pretty much it's in the pouch, and I can close it. So for just regular showers, that's perfectly fine. And for the days when it's a little bit more rainy. Right now, as I said, we're going out for the weekends, so we can kind of pick and choose the weather a little bit. I'm looking to get like a waterproof cover for it for our next long distance hike, just to kind of make sure I have an extra protection. Or if it gets really, really bad, usually if it's heavy rain on a long period of time, that's probably not the exact time when I would be taking pictures, so I can always put the camera in the backpack as well.
Oh, okay, cool. And you mentioned a blog. So what's your blog?
My blog is called thirstforadventure.com. It's thirst4adventure.com. And I'm trying to pretty much post once in a while trip reports from the adventures we go to, recipes, backpacking meal recipes. I have a few gear reviews on there, and that's pretty much about it. Just show people our like hiking life and kind of describe the adventures that we go on.
Okay, well, I went to thirstforadventure.com, and the first thing I see here is the call of an adventure. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, so Dave and I are going on a big adventure this year. We did the John Muir Trail. It was 3 weeks, and we really loved it. We got to the top of Mount Whitney, and the first thing that we wanted to do was turn and go back and do it all over again. things kind of worked out this year, and we decided to go and actually attempt the whole Pacific Crest Trail. So that's pretty much the call of our adventure. And we will be leaving in April, and then pretty much hiking hopefully all the way till like mid-September, and hopefully everything will go well and we'll be able to complete the trail.
Wow. Well, I'm looking at the map that you have on your call for adventure, and man, it looks so easy right there on the map.
Yeah, I know. It looks really short, doesn't it? Piece of cake.
Yeah. So do you already have a start date, what do you call it, a permit?
No. The permit season will probably open on February 1st. There's a little bit of speculation, but that's what happened last year, and the hiking community thinks that February 1st will be the day this year too. So we're following the Pacific Crest Trail Organization blog, and we're hoping that we'll be able to get the permit pretty much for beginning to mid-April. That's our desired date. So don't have an exact date yet, but it will be probably mid-April that we'll be leaving.
Okay. Well, I think one of the questions a lot of people would have for you would be, okay, you know, you're going to go hike this 2,650-mile hike. What are you doing for work? You know, are you going to work while you're doing this, or is the book your work? How does that work out? Or did you have to quit a job?
Yeah, pretty much. The thing is, I did not want the commitment of having to kind of be back at a certain time, and we really want to kind of enjoy the hike. I mean, you're limited by the weather. You don't want to be back in Washington too late, but you don't want to hurry just because you have a job waiting. I mean, job is a big deal, but I think enjoying the hike, it's kind of a priority. So yes, I am going to quit my job, and I'm going to enjoy the hike and put many notes in and take many pictures. And my job pretty much for the 5-6 months will be hiking and riding, and hopefully another good book will come out of it. And hopefully we'll come up with many, many good memories to talk about.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I like where your priorities are. Yeah. Oh, man. You know, there's probably some people listening thinking, wow, how could you ever do that? But, man, it's such a big commitment. And if you're going to do a trail that long that's going to take 4 or 5 plus months, you have to have that kind of commitment, right?
Yes, definitely, definitely. And it just, we talked about it, and why not, you know? It's, we don't really have anything else than our jobs here that, let's face it, there always will be a job after we get back. We'll find something. So we decided that we really wanted to experience this long hike. And I talked to a few people who did it last year and the year before, and every single one of them say, yes, it's worth it. So we decided, yes, that will be our year.
Wow, that's great. Well, I have to admit that I put a little plug in here. I noticed that you mentioned you were hoping to finish in September, and obviously that's all up in the air. I do a lot of work with the PCTA, and my section of trail is up at Hart's Pass, which is right near the end there, 30 miles from the border. And in the second weekend, the weekend after Labor Day, I do my section of trail on the weekend, and I invited all listeners to sign up for that at rudy@cascadehikerpodcast.com. Send me an email, and you join my trip, join that trip up there. It's all free, and we might run into Gabby. She might be finishing up the trail at that time, so... Man, that'd be cool.
Well, that would.
Oh, that's a long ways out, though. I've been wanting to catch back up with my second interview ever was with somebody named Hadley Canhike, and I haven't caught back up with him yet to give an update. And I'm looking forward to that interview. One thing that was really interesting about his interview
was how much preparation he put in and thought. Now, you've already done a nice long 3-week hike, and you so you kind of know a little bit what to prepare for. What are you looking for as far as this longer hike? How do you think you're going to do things differently as far as prepping, gear, food, that kind of thing?
It's a completely different beast. It's pretty much the trail is 10 times longer, so it's in a way it's kind of hard to prepare for it. What we're doing right now, we're trying to come up with a meal plan. We were looking through the survey that was put up. Pretty much hikers that hiked the trail last year commented on the locations that you can resupply and which ones you definitely need to mailbox to with supplies and which ones you actually can walk to a store and find a decent amount of items to carry for the next leg of the hike. So that's our job right now, is trying to figure out where to send boxes, where to buy stuff and what to put in the boxes. We're trying to kind of put together a list of ideas for the towns that have a decent grocery store so that we can just really walk into the store and think, okay, we have 5 days and for these 5 days we want this and this and this. So that's the biggest challenge is the food. Much that emotionally will be more prepared for what it's like to be out there, and the challenges will be just the different distances between the resupply points, the more remoteness of some of the locations that we'll be hiking through. So I think that's where most of our preparation lies right now, is just kind of figuring this stuff out.
Yeah, well, that was one thing in episode 40 when I was talking to Jeff Kish about the Pacific Northwest Trail. He was mentioning that because he talked about the difference between the two trails really is as far as food goes. With the Pacific Northwest Trail, almost all the towns that you need to resupply in, the trail actually goes right through the town pretty much. So that's a kind of a unique thing. But, man, there's a lot of hitchhiking routes that the Pacific Crest Trail kind of takes you on, right?
Yes, that's the information that we're getting. There's several towns that we'll be hiking through, but most of the resupply location will require at least a short hitchhike. I try to kind of do a little bit of research on that, and it seems like people are agreeing, the previous hikers are agreeing that the hitch is usually not difficult to catch. So we'll see how it goes, but it definitely will be a interesting experience. For the John Muir Trail, we did not have to hitchhike. We could resupply boxes and pick them up directly on the trail. So this one will be a little bit different, and we'll see how it goes.
We are hikertrash.com. They got some awesome hats, shirts, stickers. They even got temporary tattoos. They got women's t-shirts, men's t-shirts. They even have wallets. Hiker Trash is a really cool name. The meaning just really brings hikers together. Hiker Trash is a community. You see somebody on the trail that's another Hiker Trash, and you just know that they've been through some stuff. They've been out on the trail. So go check out the hats and shirts. Really great company. Really quality stuff. We are hikertrash.com. Oh, man. So what about your gear? Is there anything that's on your list of, all right, we really need to get a new tent here, and what are you researching for any of those items you might need?
So we already got a new tent for this Pacific Crest Trail trip. We used Big Agnes Fly Creek, UL Fly Creek, and we really loved that tent. However, for the longer distance, we decided to go with something a little bit lighter, and we got Z-Pak Triplex.
Nice.
It's a lighter shelter. People are very happy with it. Many through hikers use it, and people that we talked to recommended it, so we decided to give it a try.
Now, you said it's a triplex?
Yes, it's a triplex. We were considering between the duplex and the triplex, and just from the experience that we had with the Big Agnes, that usually runs a little bit small, we kind of decided we wanted a little bit of extra space just for the rainy days when we want to store more gear inside, and or if we kind of needed to live. You know, if we went into some really bad weather and we needed to live in the tent for a day or two. so we decided to go with a little bit extra.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah, for sure. Oh, was there anything else then on your list?
Most of our other gear, I think, will be pretty much taking the things that we take on our regular backpacking trips. So it's gear that we're familiar with and that work for us. So other than the tent, I don't think we will be making any other big purchases. We, as I said, we backpack quite a bit, so we have all the other big items, like our sleeping bags and sleeping pads, pretty much covered. I think the only other different item that we'll be bringing, we decided to buy umbrellas for the desert part of the trip, because it gets really hot, and many people like to use them to provide a little bit of extra shade during the hottest part of the day. They say that it helps you to extend hiking hours in the Californian desert, so we decided to give them a try. We have never tried them before, so I'm actually quite curious what that experience will be for us.
Yeah, I've heard that they take off, what, 15 degrees? Is that true?
That's approximately what I've heard. I, as I said, we never used them, so I can tell you a first-hand experience, but if that was about correct, I think that would be a really, really huge difference.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a big deal when you're hiking in the desert, man. I mean, not that I have. I shouldn't try to act like I have the experience, but I can only imagine the desert. Oh, man. Well, the book, I Had a Dream, I Lived It. I'm going to be getting this book, and I'm going to follow you on the blog, thethirstforadventure.com. That's the number four, thirstforadventure.com. Find the blog there. You can read some of the stuff we just talked about, and maybe she'll even have another blog up before the show gets out. And yeah, so I'm excited about that. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up about the hike or the books or the blogs?
No, I just would like to invite everybody to read the book, and if they do, just let me know what they think. I always like to hear from people, so please feel free to reach out and send me a message. I like to help people with a variety of things. Sometimes I get questions from like new hikers, and I always like to kind of answer in a very helpful way. So if you are new to hiking and you would like to know what it's like to be out on the trail, or if you just want to ask about what it's like to write a book, if you have any type of questions of that sort, please feel free to reach out. I'm always happy to help, and I'm always happy to talk to fellow hikers and fellow writers.
Yeah, and I see right on your website there, it says right at the top, there's a thing that says contact, and real easy to get a hold of her right there, right at thirstforadventure.com.
Yes, there's a contact right there, and it goes directly to my email, so I'm usually able to respond very fast.
All right. Well, hey, I really appreciate it. I'm excited to read the book. Thanks for coming on the Cascade Hiker Podcast.
Okay, thank you for having me.
Okay, that's the show. Thanks a lot for listening to the Cascade Hiker Podcast. Send me an email, Rudy@CascadeHikerPodcast.com. I love the feedback. Also, hit me up on Facebook. North Cascade Hiker is my Facebook page. Twitter, capital N underscore capital C for Cascade Hiking. N underscore Cascade Hiking on Twitter. And Instagram is North Cascade underscore Hiker. So pretty simple to find me on social media there. You can also just leave a comment under the show. So I try to give you plenty of ways to get a hold of me. Do so. I want to hear from you. Thanks again for listening to the Cascade Hiker Podcast. I would leave this world for a beautiful girl if I could just